This Week in Agriculture, a production of the Red River Farm Network. With a look at the markets, I'm Tyler Donaldson. The week started out a bit quietly, seeing some slow trade action ahead of the Thanksgiving Day holiday. Ag Resource Company President Dan Bossi says grain traders were reversing some of last week's positions to start out the trade this week.
Last week we had, of course, a lot of grain buying and soybean selling. The grain buying was related to the tensions related to the Black Sea and Ukraine and Russia and long-range missiles. And so that trade kind of got reversed today, and that gave the grain some pressure and the soybeans some strength. But I didn't see much more than that other than, you know, intercrop spread and widening.
USDA's weekly export inspections report for the week ending November 21st showed 903,000 metric tons of corn were inspected for export. That's 3% more than the previous week and way above the same week last year at 115% more. Soybean inspections of 2.1 million metric tons are 7% less than the previous week, but 33% more than a year ago. Wheat inspections at 360,000 tons are 83% more than the previous week and 25% more than a year ago. For the marketing year, corn inspections are 38% ahead of last year's pace. Soybeans are 12% more than a year ago, and wheat inspections are 31% more than last year. Tuesday grain trade saw some pressure on the grains from tariff concerns, says Van Aun & Company market analyst Christy Van Aun.
Pressure showing up in soybeans and corn, and I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that we are entering this new era that we are used to, that we have dealt with before, and that is a President Trump era where we could see some tweets, some posts, that he really uses that platform to kind of give us his thoughts. And his thoughts yesterday was that he had stated that one of the first things he wants to do when he's inaugurated is implement a 25% tariff on Mexico and Canada and increase the tariffs on China by 10% to fight kind of illegal immigration and then also fight the drug war on fentanyl.
Hay prices were steady to slightly higher in November. According to the hay market demand and price report for the Upper Midwest, prime alfalfa hay averaged $171 per ton for large squares. That's down from $237 one year ago. The price for large rounds is averaging $112 per ton, which is nearly half the price seen one year ago. Grade 1 hay is valued at $115 per ton for large squares, down from $213 per ton one year ago. Weekly report from the Energy Information Administration shows ethanol production during the week ending November 22nd at 1.12 million barrels per day. That's 9,000 barrels per day more than the previous week. Ethanol stocks are up 300,000 barrels to 22.9 million barrels. U.S. Commodities President Don Rose says there was a lack of follow-through from the grains for the week's strong export sales.
I think when you look at the holiday short week in review, that it was a week that we continued to sit close to contract lows on the wheat market, soybean market just off contract lows, and the same thing with the soybean meal. The good export sales on soybeans to end the week, but really didn't get a lot of follow-through on that. I think the feeling was that that deal was done on the large sale a few days ago, so The wheat market has been the anchor on the grain market, along with the soybeans and the good weather that we've had here in the wheat area in the U.S.
Beef markets also saw strong demand throughout the week, strengthened by a strong cash trade. That's been a look at the markets this week in agriculture. For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
North Dakota. What to a tailgate party, policy debate, a futurist's auctions, a youth convention, and Miss North Dakota have in common? It's all happening at the North Dakota Farmers Union State Convention in Bismarck, December 13th and 14th at the Event Center. The two-day extravaganza features plenty of fun, ag education, prize giveaways, and time to catch up with friends. Register now through the NDFU app or online at ndfu.org.
Check out the Job Opportunities in Agriculture tab on the Red River Farm Network website. The Pennington County Farm Service Agency is hiring a full-time temporary program analyst in Thief River Falls. And the Red River Farm Network, we're looking for a farm broadcaster, ag journalist. Find all the details on the Job Opportunities in Agriculture tab on the Red River Farm Network website, rrfn.com. And if your business has a job opportunity, contact the Red River Farm Network to find your next employee. This Week in Agriculture, a presentation of the Red River Farm Network. Texas native Brooke Rollins is the Agriculture Secretary nominee. President-elect Donald Trump making that announcement 1 week ago after speculation had surfaced the previous week that former Georgia Senator Kelly Loeffler was the pick. Rollins is president and CEO of America First Policy Institute. She grew up on a Texas farm, graduated with a degree in ag development at Texas A&M University. She was a White House policy advisor during Trump's first term. Texas Farm Bureau Communications Director Gary Joyner is confident in Brooke Rollins as the new ag secretary pick.
I think Brooke Rollins is an excellent nominee for Secretary of Agriculture because of her background. She comes from a area of Texas that's very agricultural oriented, very active in 4-H, FFA, was a state FFA officer, went to Texas A&M and was a student body president at Texas A&M with an ag development degree, got a law degree, and she has very much been on the policy side, interested in issues that affect agriculture that are important to farmers and ranchers across the country. I think she brings with her a passion for agriculture. And she talks about Texas Farm Bureau, 4-H, and FFA really being the reason she could attend college.
President-elect Donald Trump named Jamison Greer as his trade representative. Greer served as chief of staff to Robert Lighthizer, who led the U.S. Trade Representative's office during Trump's first term. Minnesota Representative Angie Craig wants to be the lead Democrat on the House Agriculture Committee. Craig sent a letter to her fellow Democrats on the committee making her case for that leadership role. Georgia Democratic Congressman David Scott is now in the role but has had health issues. Scott has also faced scrutiny over his effectiveness in leading the Democratic caucus in the Ag Committee. Congressman Jim Costa has also announced his intention to seek the ranking member role when the Congress convenes in January. After meeting with lawmakers last week in Washington, D.C. as part of the Midwest Council on Agriculture, Ag Country Farm Credit Services Senior Vice President Howard Olson said lawmakers are looking at a Farm Bill Extension Plus in this lame duck.
So here's kind of the lingo right now. We're hearing this came from some of the Democrat Ag Committee staff, but they said we could have an extension, we could have an extension plus, or we could have an extension plus plus. And our group that was there said, hey, we're supportive of the extension plus.
Minnesota Farm Bureau President Dan Glessing says there's a possibility of a disaster bill and an economic relief package.
Yeah, so it's interesting that came in the Senate. We haven't seen anything in the House yet. I know some of our delegation have led a letter to really promote it in the House as well, but I haven't seen anything on that. So, you know, when you look at natural disasters, you know, whether it's what we had in the spring here with the rains and drought, and you know, you name it, we've got it. Hurricanes in the southeast and all of that. So it's needed. Economic assistance would really help too. The bankers are having some tough discussions with farmers.
United Nations Climate Change Conference, better known as COP29, was held this past week. Plant-based Council Executive Director James Glick was part of that program and said there was a realization that agriculture can be part of the solution.
I don't think there's a lot of recognition that on a global scale for all of the time and energy that growers spend improving their land, improving water, improving the air. You know, folks don't realize that that's really just what you do on the farm.
I'm Don Wick on the Red River Farm Network.
From the field to well beyond the farm gate, the Minnesota Corn Checkoff is building a brighter future for corn farmers across the state. Each year, the Checkoff funds innovative research and development programs that increase input use efficiency, build and maintain export markets, and create new uses for corn, ethanol, and DDGs. It also supports innovative programming in local communities, scholarships for future ag leaders, and engagement with the non-farming public. Learn more about the Minnesota Corn Checkoff at mncorn.org.
World Weather Incorporated senior meteorologist Drew Lerner is your trusted source for agricultural weather. From the Northern Plains,
we do expect some showers to develop and a couple of thunderstorms. The majority of the meaningful rain, though, is going to be in southern Canada.
To South America,
Buenos Aires, La Pampa, and Cordoba, but it doesn't occur until we get into next week, leaving plenty of time for changes in the forecast.
Drew Lerner, only on the Red River Farm Network. We're reporting agriculture's business.
This week in weather, I'm Don Wick reporting. World Weather Incorporated says the latest data from the Eastern Equatorial Pacific Ocean continues to show very little reason to expect a full-blown La Nina event in the next few months. World Weather says this has been the trend for many months now, despite NOAA's ENSO model constantly predicting La Nina. World Weather expects more neutral ENSO conditions to prevail over the next few months, with a slight La Nina basis that will not allow traditional La Nina weather and differences to be evolving. In the latest crop progress report of the season, Minnesota's topsoil moisture supplies were called 55% adequate to surplus. USDA said Minnesota farmers are finishing up harvest and fall tillage. In the weekly crop progress report for North Dakota, the topsoil moisture called 52% adequate to surplus. Winter wheat rated 49% good to excellent. North Dakota's sunflower harvest, 91% complete, 10 percentage points ahead of the five-year average. And the National Agricultural Statistics Service is reporting South Dakota winter wheat is rated 24% good to excellent. Emergence, 86% complete, 12% behind the long-term average. Sunflower harvest is 94% complete. Topsoil moisture in South Dakota, 72% short to very short. Westbred has 12 of the 26 national winners in the National Wheat Yield Contest. Westbred marketing manager Carrie Roach said the combination of high-producing wheat varieties and management-intensive production will deliver yield quality is another part of that contest.
You know, we can't have high-performing varieties and just hit those bushels without making sure that we're hitting the quality for them, because that's really what we need downstream.
Wheat variety decisions are being made earlier and earlier.
You know, I think there's a lot of wheat out there right now, but I think making sure that you're locking in those varieties, especially if you've got your eye on one, is going to be really important right now. So talk to your seed supplier about which Westbred variety is best for you and get that locked in so that you can, you know, achieve those yields, performance, and high quality.
The two-week outlook remains nearly ideal for crop development across much of Brazil and Paraguay. World Weather Incorporated says nearly widespread rain will be falling on Brazil and Paraguay this weekend and into next week, and will be bringing enough rain to maintain or improve soil moisture. Argentina will be seeing regular rounds of rain through Sunday that will slow field work. World Weather Incorporated expects widespread 2-inch rains going on this weekend in many locations. The Brazilian consulting firm AgroConsult is forecasting a record soybean crop in Brazil, production projected to top 172 million metric ton. If realized, that would surpass the previous record of 162 million tons in the 2022-2023 marketing year. Meanwhile, CONAB is calling for soybean production, a total of 166.1 million tons. USDA's Risk Management Agency now offering revenue protection for coverage for flax. That option already available for barley, rye, wheat, and oats. Farmers who want yield coverage without electing one of the new revenue coverage options, there's only going to be a couple changes. The guarantee will be projected, the projected price offered for revenue protection instead of a price election established by RMA. I'm Don Wick. This week in weather.
Selling farmland can be a once-in-a-lifetime decision. This is Chris Griffin with Red River Land Company in Grand Forks. With decades of experience in farm real estate, our company and its founder, John Botsford, understand the agricultural landscape and are here to help guide you through the process from start to finish. We encourage you to visit redriverlandco.com to check out our listings and recent sales. If you have land to sell or manage or just want to discuss the land market, let's talk. Red River Land Company, your trusted name in farm real estate.
Despite overwhelming support from Democrats and Republicans, time is running out for Congress to pass the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act, which will keep AM radio in cars. Text AM to 52886 and ask Congress to bring this bill to a vote now. AM radio is too important to let this moment pass us by.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.